The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Just to have a little fun, welcome back to the Steve Noble Show, live on the Steve Noble Network here on the Truth Radio Network. Welcome back to the studio, Pastor Micah Corona, the host of Living Strong, heard Saturdays at noon on the Truth Radio Network. Pastor Micah, how are you?
Thank you, Steve. So glad to be here. Welcome to the Steve Noble Show, where there are no sacred cows.
Yeah, we're not going to do this all.
Can we do the whole show like
this?
Yeah,
go radio, all the whole show.
The whole thing.
Put on the whole radio persona. By the way, Pastor Micah, you have a face for radio.
No, that's just wrong. I am highly offended.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can tell. Yeah, because I've never heard that in 17 years of radio, which I can't. This is 17 wow. years of activism. See, when you get to be my age, Micah. It all just kind of becomes a big soup. So you go 17 years of activism, called mm-hmm. Action started in 2004. So that's 17 years. Radio is only a scant 14 years. So yep. That started in November of 2007. Saturdays for 3 years, including Sirius Satellite Radio, which was a blast. Then I got off the radio for a few months. And then just like Godfather Part 3, they pulled me back in. Thank you, Stu Epperson. And I've been daily since February of 2011, so over 10 years now.
Yeah.
And you're on the radio now on Saturdays, but been pastoring for a while, Living Word Family Church out there in the beautiful confines of Wake Forest, North Carolina. But how long have you been in the pastorate? Because a youth pastor, your dad was senior pastor there for a while, but you've been at it for a while.
Yeah, my wife and I have been at that church serving since 96.
So wow.
Whatever that, 26 something,
25
years, something
or Common Core math, get back to me tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you know. But we have been the senior pastors for about 2.5 years.
Yeah, awesome.
There, yeah.
And then exciting to have you on the radio. That was my old slot. I think I told you that before. Yeah, I was a high noon Eastern time.
Yeah, big shoes to fill.
Big shoes to fill, but not that difficult to fill. But anyway, it's great to have you back. And Pastor Micah's on Saturdays, by the way. So if you're here in the Truth Radio world, in the Triangle area, that's Saturdays at noon every Saturday. And the things that he is sharing from the pulpit is what you'll hear there on Saturday. So a great opportunity to follow up on that. And it's good to have Micah back in the studio. So parenting is a big deal. We're going to walk through that today. So when you say Living Word Family Church, and we've talked about this before, but just to remind people, you know, we sit there and go, well, churches should all be family churches, but there's a particular emphasis that God has on your heart, which is why we're going to talk about parenting today. But how do you describe that to people if they go, what do you mean a family church? How do you answer that question?
Yeah, so like our mission is to build strong families. And now the Great Commission is to make disciple makers. And the way that we do that is by building strong families. Yeah. And that's just, you know, God called Paul to a people group, called Peter to a people group. He's really called us. It's not that if you're not a family or you're not married, you're not going to get a lot out of it.
Yeah.
But we have a specific emphasis on building strong families. And that includes marriages, includes finances. That's a huge, you know, war against the family, financial pressures.
Yeah.
But then also parenting is a big part of what we do as well, and just helping, just having parenting classes and those type of things.
And I think parenting, and you mentioned this before, and I've got the transcript from when you did the entire sermon on this in this particular time, really is, you know, I think we talk about just kind of surviving the teen years, get, mm-hmm. you know, get the kids launched, get them off to college or whatever. And I think we kind of set the bar low because that way it's easier to achieve as opposed to wanting to see our children thrive. And oftentimes you don't see, it's kind of like being a farmer. You plant, you water, but sometimes you really don't see that fruit come off that tree until they're out of the house. But I think that's a mindset that I just want to get to early before we get into some specifics talking about parenting, especially today, for you guys. We're going to talk about kind of correction. What does that look like? The reality that you really do reproduce who you are more than what you teach, and being consistent, and then correction and admonition. We'll talk about those. But I think we have to have a higher target, shouldn't we? Instead of just surviving, we should look to thrive.
Yeah, I mean, it's I know what it's like to be a parent and be in the throes of everything and just kind of feel like, you feel like you're in survival mode.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But going into parenting, you know, we were very, very intentional. And that's a key word, is that you're intentional. that the Bible talks about children as arrows in the hands of a warrior, and we took that very seriously. That we wanted to raise our child that he actually is an arrow in the hands of a warrior, and that starts with us being warriors,
right? Exactly.
But it also brings about this sense of intentionality that we're going to be very intentional about how we discipline, how we raise, how we correct, how we train. The fact that there is training, and it's not Sunday school and praying over our food. It's way more than that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big key that I see a lot of parents that are, you know, they don't require any training to take home a baby.
Right. That's right.
You know, which and is probably one of the most important things, if not the most important thing, that we will do. And yet most parents get zero training. They actually invest almost no time into raising their children. And I was a youth pastor for 8 years. I've seen parents, once they hit that, and they're like, can you help fix my kid?
Outsource.
It's like, well, if we can reverse time,
right.
This was something that we should have been intentional about in the beginning. And I'm very sympathetic with parents that, you know, wow, I wish I had.
Sure.
I wish I had.
Sure.
And so to hopefully catch some parents that do have younger kids, that everything seems, you know, they're cute now.
Right. All right.
You know, but we have to be, we have to be very intentional about it early on and all the way through. And it becomes a joy and not just survival.
Right. Yeah, such a great point. And I love that imagery that we read in the Bible, that there are arrows in your hands. And when you're given an arrow, you're given a bow. And the purpose of that is to be specific. It's not to just get the arrow off the bow. No, it's to actually aim at something.
Yeah.
And you're part of an army, the Christian army, trying to advance the kingdom of God. And I think that's something to remember, that it's very, very intentional. And we only have them for a short period of time. That window's closing. It's getting smaller all the time. And really, our goal with our kids is what? What should be our – you have one child, you have three child, 10 kids, whatever the case may be. What should our ultimate goal be in parenting?
So our children have a purpose. They were born with a purpose. And our goal is to make sure that we launch them early in their life toward God's purpose for their life, and so that they can become what God has called them to be. And so as a father, and my wife as a mother, in raising our son, that was the goal. Is like, and it's so easy to get distracted from the end goal.
Oh yeah.
You know, in the middle of everything that's going on. And so just to keep that focus on the end goal of, they have a purpose and a calling in their life, and our job is to help launch them into that.
Yeah, which is going to help them experience the most abundant life that the Lord already has planned and wants to give them. And that's our part of it. But also, just a word, a reminder, a little encouragement to you. I have a story I'll share later that if you think once they're out of the house, it's too late, it isn't. You can still see God do some amazing things in your relationship with your children. We'll talk about that later. This is Steve Noble with Pastor Michael. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Welcome back to the show with Pastor Micah Corona from Living Word Family Church out in Wake Forest. Also on every Saturday on the Truth Radio Network, 12 noon on Saturdays, Truth Radio here in the Triangle. Talking about parenting, and I think one of the things, and you just mentioned this over the break, Micah, and thanks for being back in today, is understanding that these kids aren't ours.
Right.
That they're on loan. We're stewards. And I think we have to get our mindset in the right direction. You mentioned this earlier. They are arrows, and blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And so they're arrows to be directed and shot in the right direction for the glory of God and for them to realize God's design and purposes for their own life. But that whole notion of being a steward is so important. And you know that the window's closing. And so as we look at that, one of the things you mentioned when you did a recent sermon on this, which was kind of a hard thing to hear. We know that we can teach them what we know, but we actually reproduce who we are.
Yeah, that's and it's actually not just hard, it's terrifying.
You would have to say
that. Yeah. But that is the truth, is, and we all know it to be true, from experience, is you can teach your kids, but they're going to do what you do. And I think if you understand the dynamic of that we reproduce who we are, not what we teach, then it puts the responsibility back on us, which is why it's so terrifying.
Yeah.
And just human beings hate responsibility. If we can put responsibility, well, I did it because they did that or anything like that, we will almost always do that. It's a very difficult thing for a human to really look at, wow, this is my responsibility. I'm going to reproduce who I am. So let me look inside. And one of the things that we would do with our son that kind of points back to that is if, as he was growing up, if he was having an issue with a specific thing, you know, on a regular basis, not just, you know, a one-off,
yeah, he bad lied moment, to us whatever.
Or whatever. But as we were growing up, if he was struggling with something on a regular basis, my wife and I, using this principle, would go back and we would correct the, you know, the wrong behavior. But we would go back and ask ourselves, what are we doing that is scripting him for this to manifest? Because, like, for instance, anger looks different in a 35-year-old than it looks in a 6-year-old.
Right.
And so if your 6-year-old has, just as an illustration, seems to have fits of rage or anger or whatever, if they continually lie, well, are we saying, hey, tell them I'm not here? You know, just
right.
those kind of
little things in the background.
Yeah. And whenever we were having consistent problems with him, we always brought it back to us and really searched our own heart and asked God, what do we, and we always found something, and we could fix it in ourselves, and over a matter of time, it would actually manifest in him.
Yeah.
That, you know, the fixing of that, of that issue.
Well, you're changing what the true north is in that particular case. And so that corrects the course, not only corrects our own course, but it corrects their course. I mean, I've had that issue. We have four kids and they're a little older now, 26, 23, 20, and 16. Mm-hmm. And say, hey, Dad, you know, you've apologized for that 100 times. And a lot of parents, I think, don't realize, I didn't realize it early on, the power of repentance and seeking forgiveness and reconciliation. When you see things like that, and to examine yourself and be like David, Lord, search my heart and reveal in me any unclean or wicked things. But I think that's a really powerful question, Mike, because when we see it in our kid, are we seeing a more mature version in ourselves?
Exactly.
Because I can teach you what I know, but you're going to follow who I am.
Yeah.
Because, you know, do I see anger issues and condescension issues in our kids? Yes. Well, guess who's the king of anger and condescension? Well, you're talking to him right now. You're sitting in my studio. And so I see that. But I think it's super important, and I wanted to ask you about that. Should we make it a regular occasion whenever it's appropriate to apologize to our children?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. And my wife and I did it on a regular basis. And it doesn't show weakness. There were times when the way that we addressed him was wrong. And so if he did something wrong, he was frustrating us, and we addressed him incorrectly, there were times when we have to go back to him and just say, hey, you know, we, mom or dad, we apologize. We didn't speak to you correctly. Or even when my wife and I were having fights and it happened to be in front of him. Well, that, you know, I think you should be able to have disagreements in front of your children.
Yeah.
You should not fight in front of your children.
Yeah.
And so we would have to go to him and apologize. Just because you apologize, though, doesn't mean that the correction doesn't need to come.
Sure, right.
So you're still going to be corrected for what you did wrong. However, I need to ask for forgiveness for how I dealt with it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, that will earn more respect if you consistently do that and your children understand that you don't think you're perfect. And you never,
right, you got to acknowledge that. Well, that's the gospel there. And what does God desire? A broken and contrite heart.
Absolutely.
That's what he desires. Yeah. So you should... ask your kids. You want to do painful things, ask your kids questions about yourself. Do you ever see me with a broken and contrite heart in our relationship or in my relationship with your mom or whatever the case may be? And that's a powerful question that's also a gospel example, which is so important. We've used the word correction a lot already in the show today, Micah. So how do we approach correction? Because I think oftentimes it's the donkey that's out of whack. And so, but you can correct them on the outside. You can clean the outside of the cup and you still have problems on the inside of the cup. So help us to understand a biblical way of correcting. What do we do there? Because there's raise your children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I want to talk about admonition too, but let's talk about correction.
So with correction, I really feel like there are two areas where there is a place where you are correcting your child. Obviously there's something that has happened and you're going to correct them. And that has to be done consistently and in love, and those are very key. That it doesn't depend on mom's mood as to what they're getting corrected for.
Wow.
If you really want to mess up your relationship with your kids, then correct them based upon your mood, because you're constantly inconsistent, and they don't know which mom they're going to get. They don't know which dad they're going to get, and so much of kids acting out has to do with that, just the inconsistency of correction. But I do think that whenever we see our children behaving in a different way, there is that period of correction or that tool of correction. But you want to make sure that you're not just trying to make them moral on the outside.
Right.
So
just
so
correct your behavior right then and there, which oftentimes is out of frustration or embarrassment.
Yeah. And so you don't want just behavior modification. You want heart modification. And one of the things that we learned years ago is if you really want to correct from the inside out and you want a heart change, then you explain to them continually the moral reason why.
Yeah.
And so when they understand the moral reason why, then that begins to change, and they can make decisions from the inside out and not just because mom's there.
Well, that's one of those things we all need to write down is you train them from the inside out.
Oh, yeah.
Mostly we work from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
We teach moralism, basically. We teach the law.
Yeah.
But we never go to the heart. Which is exactly what Jesus saw in the Pharisees.
Right.
You guys clean the outside of the cup, mm-hmm. but the inside's trashed.
Yeah.
You look like whitewashed tombs. You look nice on the inside, but inside you're full of dead man's bones.
And that's a frustrating way to parent.
Oh, man.
Because if you don't change the inside, you're just constantly behavior modification over and over and over.
Yeah, hello.
And which brings us to training, which I would consider training to be the proactive side. Where the Bible says, you know, when you're on your way along the way, train their heart, teach them the right things as you go along your day. And there are the more you do that proactive training of your children, and by the way, a great way to do that is catch them doing what's right.
Yeah, it's so important.
And then affirm them for that. And the more you do training, the less correction that you have to do. But most parents are – we're not intentional about the training, and so pretty much we're just constantly frustrated by all the correction that we have to do.
Yeah, we're chasing it down the hill.
Chasing
a heart down the hill, a cart down the hill instead of correcting it in the first place. Such an important point. So many great points that we're talking to Pastor Micah Corona today, Living Word Family Church, and then on Saturdays on the Truth Radio Network here in the Triangle. 12 noon on Saturdays, Living Strong with Pastor Micah. This is Steve Noble. We're going to keep talking about parenting, love it or not, and it is painful, but it's helpful. We'll be right back. There you go. You need a Bruce Lee in your parenting. Call Pastor Micah Corona. He'll be your Bruce Lee.
No, I don't know if we go that far.
Bring Pastor Micah in because he's got a really open schedule. He doesn't have much going on. Living Word Family Church. He's got a lot of free time.
Absolutely.
So if you need a Bruce Lee in your family, call Micah. Right?
I have no idea what to say to that. I'm sorry.
Hey, Steve, nice knowing you. See you in heaven, maybe something like that. Talking to Pastor Micah today about parenting. We're both parents, both fathers. And so if you need parenting advice, boy, have you guys come to the right place today because we've just done it all right.
We've done everything wrong.
Oh, man.
And we can show incredible. You how not to do that.
Yes, a word of encouragement. I had a lady on the show years ago. We were dealing with some prodigal stuff, and her name is Carol Barnier. She wrote an incredible book, Reaching Today's Prodigals. She was a prodigal herself for 13 years. And if you're out there pulling your hair out because you're frustrated because parenting hasn't been going so well, oftentimes we own things that we shouldn't own. And one of the lines in her book was, I'll never forget this, Micah. This was probably, I don't know, 8 years ago, was really good Christian parents can have children that make really bad decisions. And then she pointed out, look at the situation with the best father in the history of fatherhood, which would be the Lord himself. Perfect father, perfect situation. How'd that go? Both kids with a perfect father in a perfect situation made bad choices. That wasn't on God. That was on them. And so oftentimes I think we own a lot of our kids' mistakes. But you remember, they are free agents. And the older they get, the more they exercise that. And so when we take all the blame for their failures, do we take all the credit when they succeed?
Mm-hmm.
And those are just some really wise words. So I just wanted to share that. Whenever I talk about parenting on the air or just face-to-face, I always bring that up because I know most of us want to beat ourselves up with it. We want to pull Martin Luther and just spread out in front of the pulpit and beat the tar out of ourselves. And we need to own what we need to own, but there's a lot of things that we don't need to own. And these are free agents. And when they 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, they stop running out of excuses. Can't blame mom and dad for everything.
Right.
But before we go on, because I want to talk about consistency, I think this is really important and worth repeating. And Mike was just talking about this before the break, talking about correction versus training. So if you look at it as an inverse relationship, these two buckets of water, as training goes up, correction necessarily will go down. The more we train, the less we have to correct. So if you're correcting a ton of time, odds are you're not training as much. Can we pretty much set that into concrete? I think that's kind of just a normal axiom that just is reality.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, if you're picking up the training mantle later in the teen years, yeah. that's going to be a little bit harder. You're going to have less leverage there.
Yeah.
But as a whole in parenting, and I would go, I would guess that maybe 80% of your parenting should be training versus 20
yeah.
correction.
And I think we would all want to sign up for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you can catch them early and really do that early, then it really lowers the amount of correction that you have to do. Now, it's still your responsibility as a parent. It's still gonna you're still going to be times when you have to do that. But you're not going to, you know, just always be your kid's friend.
Yeah.
But if you do a good job and you're very intentional and very consistent at the training side, then it's definitely going to make your parenting easier, and your child is going to have an easier time finding God's plan for their life.
Yeah, and that word consistency, I think, is probably one of the biggest challenges, because we get tired, we get frustrated.
Emotional,
fly
angry,
off the handle. Oh, yeah. And so I'll say this to my students that I teach every week. I said, cards on the table, you guys. Sometimes, at least myself, sometimes I corrected from my kids just to remind them that I could. When I didn't even, I brought you into this world. Mm-hmm. I can take you back out. So it's just this exercise of authority that was really indiscriminate, anger-based, just to remind them, because that's kind of the household I grew up in, right? It's my dad's way or the highway. It's the law.
Which is back to the point is you reproduce who you are.
Yeah.
You know, and so we can escape those things. A lot of us have parents and that we have adopted some of their parenting techniques. Mm-hmm. We don't know why we do what we do. Yeah. It was just modeled for us, and it was created in us because you'll reproduce who you are. And so you can break out of that once you recognize those things.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we're parenting like our parents, especially if you're not intentional, if you're just adrift and you're just surviving.
Yeah, well, I mean, but basically the as I look back on my youth and growing up, if it's not working, yell a little louder. say it again, say it louder, be more intense.
Yeah.
And so I would do that. I mean, believe me, I've been a work in progress for a long time. And just go, and again, that's the hammer, and I'm using correction instead of training. Mm-hmm. But consistency, I think, is how do we achieve that?
I think that goes back to us working on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And emotional control is not a thing that happens a lot today. It's like, we're just kind of off the handle.
Get it off your chest. Oh, yeah. Share what's on your heart.
But one of the things that we did, because I'm also a very intense person, and so one of the things that I had to do with my son was there were times when I did not need to discipline him. I did not need to correct him. Yeah. There were times when and what's funny is we'd say, okay, I'm very angry. I need you to go to your room. Mm-hmm. And I would separate from him. And what's funny is he would know how angry I'll come talk to you when I calm down. And the longer it was, the more afraid he was of what the consequence would be.
Shh, don't tell anybody. Yeah. Micah said that's a good one. The longer you wait, the worse it tends to be. Wow, this must be really bad.
Yeah, exactly. But what wasn't going to be bad, and what I was doing my best to do, is make sure that I did my best to make sure I wasn't going to have to apologize
after the
correction.
Well, Proverbs says a fool gives full vent to his wrath.
Oh yeah,
and that was me. Then I turned around and would bark at that at our kids.
Oh yeah,
and so oftentimes, and I know it's starting to sound like I'm probably the worst father in the face of the planet. I'm not. I'm just very aware, painfully aware of my own sin.
And my wife and I, we talked about apologizing. We apologized continually where we didn't do well at this.
Yeah.
So I am definitely, we are not the perfect parents.
But I think that's, you should never discipline or correct out of anger.
Yeah. That's where abuse happens a lot, is when you do it out of anger. And whether it be physical abuse, whether it be emotional abuse, you know, those kind of things, is when parents are continually not allowing themselves, on a regular basis, allowing themselves to calm down. And once again, when you get inconsistent parents, there's a certain place where who cares? It doesn't matter, because there's no consistency. And when I was a youth pastor, I would go to – there was a home – where teenagers who had behavioral problems would go, and they would go there for help, and I would go and do Bible studies at this home. Well, after about going there and doing Bible studies about 4 or 5 weeks, and these teenagers were the most well-behaved, well-adjusted, polite, And it wasn't a fake thing. It was like you could tell it was real. So after about 4 or 5 weeks, I kind of pulled the house parents aside and said, what gives? Why are these?
What's happening?
These kids are better behaved than a lot of my teenagers. So why are they here? And she explained to me that once you remove them from the home that actually created what they were, the animosity that's on the inside of them, and you put them in an environment where they have clear boundaries enforced in love, and I'll say that again, clear boundaries that you're not making them up based upon your mood, but they're, and we encourage you to make a chart.
Yep.
You know, here are the regular offenses.
You and I your wife and my wife are all graduates of the Ezzo School of Parenting, Growing Kid God's Way, which is here's the charts of the offenses, here's the list of the consequences, and that's it. It's not negotiable. It's not emotional.
Yeah.
It's like, this is what happened. Let's look at the chart. This is what happens next.
Yeah, and the police officer that pulls you over for speeding, he's not emotional about it. You know, he's going to write you the ticket and – you know, there's already, you're going this fast,
right.
This is the penalty. And so if you don't have that, a lot of times it's easy to get emotional about everything. But this house parent just said, look, we remove them from that. We give them these clear boundaries enforced in love consistently. Mm. And this is what you get after about 4 or 5 weeks. And so what they were doing was they were kind of a holding pattern while they were helping the parents.
Yeah, how about that?
Deal with, you know, with a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about. And so that, yeah, that just that consistency, but that's the hardest part.
The hardest part
is for us to change our habits and all that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you that your children are worth it. Your children are worth you doing the work.
So important.
And making sure that we are consistent and that we have, consistent boundaries enforced in love. Now, like you said, sometimes they do the most harebrained, you know, dumbest things. And so you're like, why would you do that? How could you do that? And I think those are the moments where we just got to take a step back, put it on pause. We'll talk when I've calmed down. You know, it could be an hour. It could be days.
Do you think there's ever a place for anger in parenting?
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Anger. But the Bible says be angry and sin not. So that's the key.
Yeah.
So it's not that you never get angry at your children. I don't think you could be human and not get angry at your children.
But you don't operate out of it. So if you're disciplining your child, either verbally or if they're young enough and you're spanking them. I mean, I look back now and go, did I ever spank out of anger? Absolutely. And every time I spanked out of anger, because it was anger that was motivating me. It wasn't love. It wasn't love. It was anger. And every time I did that, that was a sin. My dad used to do it. He'd spank us when we were young and he'd go, why did I just spank you? Oh, because I broke the rule. No, why did I just spank you? Because you're angry. No, why did I just spank you? Because you love me. We knew what the answer was. We just didn't want to give it to him.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it just reminds me of the Lord. He chastises those he loves. But his motivation is love. It's not anger. We're talking to Pastor Micah Corona about parenting. A lot to talk about in the last segment, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, today with Pastor Micah Corona back in the house. And great to have you back, Micah, and thanks for your time and being here. Pastor Micah, actually on the radio on Saturdays, 12 noon on Saturdays on the Truth Radio Network here in the Triangle area, which is now at another station. I think it's 106.3 or 106.5 up in Wake Forest.
Yeah.
So covering more of the market, which is great. But every Saturday at noon, Living Strong with Pastor Micah Corona, as well as Living Word Family Church, which people can check out. What's the website address for Living Word?
It is LWFC, as in Living Word Family Church, .org.
LWFC.org, so you can check that out. Plus you're podcasting the Saturday show as well.
Yeah,
so
livingstrongradio.com.
Cool, livingstrongradio.com. Talking about parenting today, and going to finish with, we're going to talk about prayer. I want to get back to something we were just talking about on the break. So if you go, what were you guys talking about on the break? The only way you're going to find out is to be a part of Facebook Live or YouTube Live. Okay, so we continue to talk, but I'm not robbing Peter to pay Paul. The vast majority of the content of the subject matter of the day happens during the radio, the four radio segments. Okay, so most of you are on radio. Don't feel like you're getting ripped off. You can just get more if you also join us on Facebook Live. You can watch that later. Facebook or YouTube Live, you can watch it later.
And you can see my beautiful bald head.
And you can see his beautiful bald head. So, because one of the things that I think one of our biggest challenges is endurance. You were just talking about this. And we get frustrated and we try it for a couple of weeks and then we give up. And then you mentioned something called scripting, where we go back to kind of what the default position, the way we were before. Maybe it's anger or yelling, whatever that can
be. Right. Yeah, in psychology they call it scripting, where you are, because basically it's the same principle we were talking about, is you can teach what you know, but you are going to reproduce who you are. So your parents could teach you what they know, but they reproduced who they were, or the people, your parents or the people that were your guardians, whoever raised you, they scripted you, so to speak. And so there are sometimes even subconscious things that are in there, that when you're triggered by certain things like parenthood, then those parenting scripts pop up. You don't even know they were there. And so you can sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. But if you become aware, it's like, this is why we all say, why do I sound like my dad? Why do I sound like my mom
did
when, you know, when they were little or when I was being raised? And so, so we have to, so if you recognize those things, you can change those things that you don't like. There's some things that you like. I'm glad I got that from my mom, my dad. But there are certain things that when you recognize them, if you're, once again, we'll go back to intentionality. If you're intentional about it, and if, and you know that your kids are worth the work, then you can get in and dig around and kind of and the Word of God and prayer, you can change those
things. Yeah, and we're going to talk about prayer here, but I want to talk about parents here for a second. And this one's tough because 42% of kids in America right now are growing up without a father in the home. I guarantee you we have a lot of single moms that are listening or watching. And so we're going to talk now about the relationship between the parents in terms of parenting and just the way we treat each other. But what would you say to single moms out there? Because that's particularly – usually the kids end up with mom and in a divorce situation. But what do you say to them? Because as we talk about – my relationship with my wife, your relationship with your wife, the couple, in terms of how that affects our kids, they're actually, obviously, they're not a couple.
Yeah.
So how do you kind of minister to people like that are in that situation?
So I think to couples, we'll let them know, hey, look, the stability of your relationship is the stability of your family. And how you guys treat each other is going to be a model. And so your relationship, to those of you that are couples, is the most important relationship that you have outside your relationship with Christ in order to build a strong family. Now, that can be discouraging to single parents, obviously. And one of the things, the Bible says that he is a father to the fatherless. Mm. And what that means is that he does step in. Now, you're gonna have more work because it was designed to be a two-person job. And so you're definitely going to have some extra work to do. It's going to be harder. And I don't want to placate you and say, it's going to be fine and that kind of thing. It is going to be fine, but you're going to have to work harder at it. And as discouraging as that may sound, I want to encourage you, because God says he is there to fill in the gap. He is there for you. And so I would say to you, your relationship with God and letting your children see your relationship with God, whatever that looks like, that they're seeing you read your Bible, that they are that they can see your relationship with God, is a stabilizing force. And the Holy Spirit is there with you to actually help you through this. You can do all things through him who strengthens.
Amen. And so, and we also talked about this earlier, the role of mentors and bringing other people, particularly godly men or even a coach, somebody that's sowing into them well. Make sure if you're in a single parent position that you've got somebody that, in the body of Christ, preferably, that can kind of play that other role when appropriate.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's super important.
And we even use that as a couple raising a child. There were coaches that we felt echoed our value system.
Yep.
There were youth pastors. This is why it's so important to be in a church that really echoes your value system, because you're not the only person telling them.
That's right.
As a youth pastor, I can't tell you how many times parents came to me and said, you told them the same thing that we've been telling them for years.
Right.
Why do they listen to you instead of me? Well, that's what we're there for as a church. That's what a church should be doing.
Reinforce.
Is to help reinforce, to help echo the messages. So when you find a church or a coach or, somebody that's in your child's life, that's important.
Encourage.
Especially
them.
For single parents.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you really got to encourage that. How about our relationship just as husbands and wives in front of our kids? Because that's super important.
I think that it's one of the most important things. And today, with the divorce rate the way that it is, your kids are realizing that about 50% of their friends, their parents are split up. And so if you are a couple together raising a child, you've got to realize it's in the back of their mind, is my family going to end up like this as well? And I think it is incredibly important. You working on your marriage is as important to your family as pretty much anything else. You know, we talked about you don't have to have training to bring a child home.
And, that's right.
And a lot of us just, you know, we're winging it. I'm begging you, don't wing it. You know, get some – read a book. Take a class. Get with parents who have raised
children. Yeah, be mentored by other parents. Yep.
Absolutely. And so – but also with – if the – for those of us that are couples, if our marriage is at the center of a strong family, then take care of that. Mm-hmm. You know, once again, do the work. Read, you know, your marriage and your family is worth it. Read some books, take some classes, because that, like I said, that is the strength of your family. If you're a couple, is that relationship and how your kids see you treating each other, it matters. How my son sees me treating my wife is how he's going to treat his girlfriend, fiance. Yep.
You're writing his script.
Absolutely, I am. And that, once again, that to know that I'm going to reproduce who I am. I am writing him script. Man, it makes me rethink everything. It makes me measure the things that I do.
Yeah, our kids used to quiz us on that one, particularly me, and they would say, Dad, do you love mom more than me? Because we had taught them. It's kind of the concentric circles. I love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and my neighbor as myself. So it's I love God more than mom. I love mom more than you. And they'd be like, what? And I'm like just talking about the centrality of the relationship and not in terms of the depth of love. It's a different kind of love. But they needed to see that mom. And plus, I ask my students all the time. I said, how many of you know who to go to with a certain request? Or how many of you played one versus the other? And how many of you, if mom says no, you go ask dad? And everybody in there, if they're honest, is saying, yeah, I do that all the time. That's why our relationship being consistent with each other, and they're a united front, not to sound confrontational, but that if you go talk to mom, you're going to get the same thing as you talk to dad. But that relationship, I saw that with our kids. As they got out of the house, they're like, the oldest two, the 26 and the 23-year-old, are like, I had no idea how fortunate I was to be in a pretty stable home where my parents loved each other, because most of my friends don't have that.
Yeah.
And it's an incredibly powerful tool and platform. I just don't think we see it necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, studies will tell you that too, is that when they live in a stable environment with mom and dad, and there's no question as to if they love each other, if they're staying together, those kind of things, that their self-esteem and their self-image, it changes it skyrockets. You can compare the two, and so a lot of parents who have behavioral issues with their children, it's a secret and it sounds counterintuitive, but if you'll tighten up your marriage and your relationship and they can see that, then that immediately it raises their self-image, which is low self-image is a lot of times is what's causing a lot of the behavioral issues. And so we did a thing. You talked about the Ezzos. One of the things we learned from them was what we called couch time.
Yep.
Which is incredibly not, you know, it's something that is elusive. But seriously, it's simply this. If for those of you that are couples, if you will spend 15 minutes every evening, no screens or anything, on the couch with each other.
Kids can't interrupt.
Kids
put them in a crib if they're that young.
Mom, I've got a question. No, right now we're having couch time.
Mom and dad.
And so the phone doesn't get answered, nothing, just for 15 minutes. What it does, it doesn't make your child feel rejected. It makes them feel secure.
Secure.
Because their world is
You got
is
a firm foundation
firm.
At home. Yeah. Exactly. Can we underestimate the role of prayer? That's one thing we haven't talked about. We'll finish with that.
Absolutely not. I think, and not just prayer, but praying the scriptures over your children is huge. And you can get, you know, prayers that avail much. And there are all these.
My wife has a whole series, praying the scriptures for your teens.
Oh, yeah. And we did all of those. And actually, he's 19 today. I still, every day, I pray over him. And he actually had confessions and prayers from the scriptures that he said himself on the way to school every day. He can still say them now. He's 19.
Yeah, but he does it like a disclaimer because he's been doing it for so long.
He's been doing it so long. He says it so fast, nobody understands what he's saying. But he knows.
But he knows, and the Lord knows, which is awesome. So don't ever underestimate the power of prayer in your life as a parent. And praying over them, praying the scriptures, as Micah said. Just Google that. Praying the scriptures over your kids, praying the scriptures over your teens. There's great series out there. And literally, fill in the blanks. there's the scripture, and then you put in your kids' names.
Yeah,
it's really,
great.
Really powerful.
Absolutely.
What a great conversation. So much great wisdom. Pastor Micah, thanks for being in today. It's been great having you, as always.
Thanks for having me again.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Living Word Family Church, or you can check out Pastor Micah, Living Strong, Pastor Micah Corona, 12 noons on Saturdays on the Truth Radio Network. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.